Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to the best of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. The following program was originally broadcast August the 4th, 2012, and we talk about a special kind of radio. What is that? Well, you'll have to stay tuned.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Hello, everyone. It's really nice to have you with us once again. Well, this week, Paulette, Dan, and myself, we're taking a little time off. So today's program, just like last week's, will be going into the archives to bring to you some of the interviews, the ones that you requested to hear again. Coming up on today's program, Vivian Blick will be joining us from Tango, a UK-based company that just came out with a radio that operates on H2O. It's called the H2O Radio. And then we're going to be hearing from Christine Pearson, who's the CEO of an organization that sends radios, self-powered radios, that is, to women in Africa, called Life Live Radio. So, sit back and enjoy. This is Media Network Plus on vacation. Sort of, kind of. Earlier this year on the program, we received a very interesting radio. It doesn't use batteries, you don't wind it up, you don't plug it in, you don't use solar power either. It works in the bathroom. Now, some of you are thinking something else, but no, it works with the shower. The radio connects to the shower, turns a turbine, and then you can sing along with your shower. Sort of, if you're listening to music radio anyway. The radio is called the H2O Radio, and we contacted Vivian Blick, who helped develop this receiver. I do want to put a little bit of background on this, because you have been involved in alternative energy type receivers before, like the FreePlay from Trevor Bayliss.
Yeah, that's right, Keith. Back in 1997, I basically started working with Trevor and the FreePlay Energy Company, and we launched the world's first clockwork, as it was called then, and it's now more popularly called wind-up radio, which became a phenomenal success right across the world, and something that we aimed, I guess, initially for developing countries. Ended up being as popular in the US and Australia and the UK as it did in Africa.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last few years, we've seen a corporation out of the United States called Eaton that has come out with a whole line of wind-up radios. There's also some from China, some being sold under the Grundig name. When you see that, you know, years after you came out with the clockwork one, which is different from the ones now, because the ones now have a battery that stores the energy, you must look and go, wow, amazing how we've come so far.
It is interesting. I mean, Trevor's original idea for clockwork radio was, I guess, simple and to a degree crude, but no one else thought about it really before. Or if they had, they certainly not put it into a commercial situation. And what people like Eaton are doing today, and Power Plus, and all the other leading brands in wind-up, basically taking Trevor's idea to the next stage of technology, make it smaller, make it lighter, make it more efficient, make it more portable. And it's just you know, that technology just one step at a time improving to the point now you're going to buy a radio, so why not buy one that you can wind up or one that's got a solar panel built in, as well as one that you can recharge anyway.
I still have one of the original FreePlay radios that I bought when it first came out, and it's still working now, and it still provides great reception. It's a little bit bigger than some of the newer ones on the market, but it's a technology that works. Now, let's get on to this, you know, singing in the shower. Shower radios, of course, are nothing new, but there was always the problem with the batteries, and you've come out with an idea that is, if I can use the term, tapping into energy that already exists in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly right, Keith. You know, we're always looking at ideas to say, okay, basically, how can we get some free energy? How can I get something for nothing or something from waste? So if you look at what solar panels are doing, you're getting sort of free energy, if you like, because it's coming from the sun. Or if you look at wind-up, you're getting, okay, it's not free energy, you've got to fuel your body, but it's not costing you anything out of your pocket. And the same with the shower-powered radio. So what we did there was to look at ways of using energy that's there anyway. And if you look at the shower radio, what you're doing, you're already paying for the water that's going through the shower, which ends up going down your drain. And what we're doing, we're tapping into that along the way and saying, okay, let's use that energy. We bought it, we paid for it from the utility company. It's sort of ours to do what we want with, and we're going to take a shower. But by the way, we can also get that water to drive a small turbine, which will create electricity, which will run a small radio in the shower. In fact, actually, it's not so small in terms of sound either, which is quite good. And so you end up having a radio in the shower with a system that never needs a battery to be replaced, so you never ever run out of music or news programs, and it's going to last you pretty well a lifetime.
You know, let me tell you how I'm using mine, because I have a small, low-powered FM transmitter at home that I have music coming off my iPod, and that's how I'm using it in the bathroom.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a smart way to do it, sure. Yeah, that's clever, yeah.
Now, before you came out with this, because you recently just launched it, what kind of development and research and how long did it take to get it from the drawing paper to the production line to the shops?
Okay, that process in total is probably around 18 months from, let us say, well, first of all, you're probably looking at a two-year process in terms of, first of all, thinking of ways to just go through a mind process, a daydreaming process, if you like, you know, complete blue sky thinking. And then you sort of whittle out what is the impossible and what is maybe just about possible. And the next stage is you start sketching and jotting down ideas. And that whole process is perhaps a six-month process. Eventually, you pick up the tools and the soldering iron, and you go to the bench and you create a Frankenstein-type prototype, which I did, and literally using a garden hose pipe into the shed through a window, and that was my power source for energy, the water flowing through the garden hose pipe, to prove the concept. And sure enough, proved the concept. We could run a radio, just a standard radio, which actually was a wind-up radio that we just connected all the mechanism from, and built a turbine to drive it. And so we knew we had an idea. And then from then on, it's really working with the engineers in the Far East to develop the tooling, to make it miniature, to make it cost-effective, to make it energy efficient, to make it fit pretty well most showers around the world. And that whole process is really another 18 months. So if you like, from the idea to having the launch with the first one on sale, is about a two-year process in total.
Now, the radio itself is very small, and it's just one thing. Now, there are some people out there that are saying, oh, this is just a little gadget, but you have to actually look at the bigger picture of what and where you can get energy from.
Well, that's true. I mean, you could say this radio is quite frivolous. Nobody needs a radio in the shower. Nobody does. But saying that, nobody needs a radio, period. Nobody needs a TV set either. But we are used to that. We're used to getting information anywhere we are. So this radio solves a problem in that if you have a radio in the shower, which particularly in Europe, they're incredibly popular, you do end up having batteries that run flat. You don't change them because you're in the shower, so you're not going to hop out and go to the local supermarket buy new batteries. So you end up forgetting about it. The batteries corrode. The whole device gets thrown away after, you know, 6 months or a year. So this solves that problem. But as you say, the idea is also to think about what else can you do. Okay, so if we take it one step further, let's think about every time you flush your toilet, every time you take a bath, you use the washing machine, the dishwasher. They're all using water on demand. And every time that water flows to an appliance, it's possible it could flow through a turbine and we could use that energy to create electricity.
Do you see a time, because a lot of people are talking, of course, there's cars that are running on fusion and everything. Do you see a time when, for example, water from the bathroom or the washing machine or from doing the dishes can be stored into a tank that through fusion can be used to produce energy at home? Do you see that time coming?
I think we're, to be honest, I'd like to say yes, but the reality is I think we're quite a long way away from that yet. But what we are doing is getting people's mind to open up. Because we've been, as consumers, as users, whatever, we've been narrowly focused in terms of, well, we can plug it in, we can put batteries into it, whatever. Well, that's, you know, sooner or later we're going to run out of oil to create the energy that we need to run those turbines to power everything in a house. And if you look at how many appliances you plug into the typical household today compared to, say, just 20 years ago, let alone 40 years ago, and we're just growing, you know, we've got sockets, you know, every meter around most properties now. So it's going to come a point where we just won't be able to plug everything else in. We've got to start thinking a little bit more alternatively about how we use power and how we create it. I wish we could create enough energy from, you know, these simple ideas, but I think we're quite a way away from that at this time. But hopefully we're stimulating the thought process that we may see that leap forward from, you know, some of the eminent scientists in the world today.
So it sounds like your hope is that somebody out there will get this radio, see it, and come up with an even better idea.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's a fantastic way to go. What we've done is not difficult. It's not complicated. But nobody else has done it before, not unlike what Trevor did sort of 15 years ago. What Trevor did was not clever, was not complicated, but it had not been done before. And when people saw it, and they said, oh, that's clever, I could have done that. But the point is always, nobody does. And the same will be true on the next stage of technology. It will be, I could have done that, but it takes someone to actually think through that openly and with an open mind and say, well, I will do it. And then, yeah, then things can really start to move. But we're still quite narrowly focused at this time.
Let's get back to the radio for a moment. There are some people I know right now are saying to themselves, okay, I finished my shower, I then turn the water off, I'm going to brush my teeth and quaff my hair and do whatever else they have to do. The radio turns off. Does it?
Well, no, because what it does, we are quite frugal people in terms of there's more energy flowing through your shower than you actually need to run the radio. So what we do two things. First of all, we run the radio, but secondly, we harvest any excess energy and we store that in a small rechargeable green-style battery. So that when you finish the shower, you turn off the faucet, you turn off the tap, basically you can carry on listening to the radio for a while afterwards because you've created or you've stored more energy than you actually need just for listening to the radio in the shower. Now, how long you listen to depends on how long you're in the shower, how high the volume was, and how quick your water flow rate was. So it's not exactly, I can't give you an exact answer, but typically the average user will get, you know, for every sort of 5 minutes of showering, they get another minute or so that they can listen to the radio outside of the running, without running water.
Let's talk about some of the other products that you have, because I was checking out your company's website. You have some absolutely fantastic things. You even have an alarm that you connect to your shower, showing you how long your shower is. That's quite special.
Yeah, that's a new product, which is just funny enough, just leaving the factory now. We had a few delays on some of the technicals on that once we got it miniaturized. Again, using a micro turbine, this just goes in line with a shower head. And again, when you turn on the water, drives a micro turbine with a small electronic circuit inside that basically times you while the water is flowing. Gives a nice green, glowing green light, a ring of light around the unit, which basically for the first 4 minutes is green. After 4 minutes, it starts to glow blue. If you're in the shower for more than 8 minutes, it goes to red, which basically say, look, you know, you've been in the shower here now 8 minutes, and yeah, you need to sort of think about turning the taps off here, save some water, save some energy. If you stay in the shower for longer than 12 minutes, it will actually start flashing red. And that's sort of, you know, that's really telling you, you know, you really outstayed your welcome now, and you're hurting the planet as well as your own pocket. Because one thing people don't realize at the moment is, okay, water is still quite cheap at the moment, but with climate change, that may well change. But besides that, the cost to heat the water in a shower, people aren't really looking at those costs at the moment. But as rising fuel prices for energy carry on rising, the cost of a shower, as an example, or heating water, will become quite important. So the amount of time we spend in the shower will become a factor of a measurement in most households as we go forward over the next couple of years.
One thing that I found unique about this, and I've had this discussion with people, and they say, you know, some people will say, and I've heard this, oh, I'm only taking a 6-minute shower. Oh, maybe today I'll only take an 8-minute shower. But That's you. But if you take, say, 5,000 people or more, a couple of million people, that's a lot of water.
Well, that's a good point, Keith, because if you imagine most showers, most modern showers are running at something like, roughly, around about 10 litres per minute, or let's say roughly two sterling gallons per minute, 10 litres per minute. Well, that's a huge amount of water. You're in there for 5 minutes. That's 50 litres. You multiply that by everyone on the planet, that's a huge amount of water we're going through. And just 1 minute less has a huge impact. Not for one person, but if everyone thinks the same way, then that has a major impact.
You know, I was discussing with a friend of mine the other day, because I have a large amount of radios at home. And first of all, it's my profession, and I just love all types of radios. And he said to me one time, he said, God, when I go over to your house, the only place I can have relief from radios is the bathroom. And I said to him, think again.
That's good news.
Vivian, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today. I've already have an idea of what I'm going to get for some stocking stuffers this year. If you want more information on it, stay tuned. We'll give out the web link later where you can get more information, as well as some retailers around the world that you can order the radio. Vivian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith.
I was speaking there with Vivian Blick, the creator of the H2O radio. You're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. Now, for those who've listened to this program on a regular basis, you know that we focus a lot about radio in Africa and the important role that it plays. Women in many African countries are considered second-class citizens. So there's an organization in the UK called Life Live Radio that helps to empower women by providing them shortwave receivers and also FM radios that provide health information and information on the nearest hospitals. We contacted Kirsten Pearson from Life Live Radio to tell us a little bit more about it.
Our footprint, so to speak, is principally sub-Saharan Africa, although we have quite a few projects in the pipeline for South Asia as well, and possibly something in Latin America. We work with organizations that broadcast content to the poorest and most isolated populations. So in sub-Saharan Africa, that could be orphans and other vulnerable children, it could be rural women, and it could be refugees. People who will not have any access to electricity, and only about 15% of the people living in sub-Saharan Africa have any access whatsoever to a reliable electricity source. And also, let's not forget that batteries are really expensive. If you're poor, two AA batteries can cost you anywhere from 25 U.S. cents to up to a dollar even for two in refugee camps, because they're so expensive to get to their destination, and they're going to be poor quality to begin with, so there's an environmental complication with them as well. But many of the people that we work with have actually never even turned on a radio before. Culturally, in many cultures in Africa, women aren't even allowed to listen. So, and the radios go into groups, which is really great. So you can get 40, 50 people around one radio so they can access programming on demand.
You know, I was just about to bring that up, because it reminds me of old pictures that I've seen taken, let's say, in North America or in Europe, where you'd have the whole family or a whole group of families sitting around the radio, let's say, listening to the BBC. And when you see that now in other parts of the world, some people don't believe that that's how people still listen.
Well, when you have a paucity of information like you do in Africa, especially in isolated communities or for refugees, and there are many, many millions of refugees in Africa from both conflict, internal conflict, or in places like Kenya, where the Somali, more than half a million Somali refugees now have come into into Kenya for safety, and most of those are women. And, you know, if you've lost everything and have had to flee, you don't have a radio set and to begin with, and you don't have a battery, so, or access to batteries or money to buy them. And so it's very, it, 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 it So our radios can go to 40 or 50 people very comfortably, and especially for women, because they may not have had the benefit of an education, so they really want to hear what's going on. They want news in their local languages, and the BBC is very good about that, and or programs that are very practical in nature, like the time, the weather, health information, hygiene, maternal care, farming advice, livestock care, and really just what's going on, especially if it's a conflict area. People are very stressed, or natural disasters. That's another one in emergencies. You know, you think of people needing health or shelter and food in an emergency, but to someone who's been displaced, they also want to know what's going on.
Now, you said, you know, you provide these radios in communities, and with especially with women that don't have access to the information that you just said. Africa is a very large continent. A lot of major international broadcasters, the VOA, BBC World Service, and others, have programming that's targeted specifically for the populations in Africa, in the different ethnic groups. We've seen a lot of cuts that have been taking place. Do you see these cuts and think to yourself, what are they doing?
Well, I think that the British public who pay a license fee, I think that the programming is very well spent in Africa, but they, you know, every media organization is under pressure for cuts. But what seems to be taking up the slack of the international broadcasters is community radio, and that is so powerful because, you know, if you're based in, let's say in outside Maputo, let's say you're in northern Mozambique, for example, and you're getting broadcasts that are coming out of Maputo, you're not that interested because it's in the south. You want to hear in your local language, you want to hear what's going on in your area in the north. Let's say you're around a town called Pemba. There's a community radio station in Pemba. So you still want to get I've found that populations, if there's a conflict taking place, they want to hear a broadcaster like the BBC or the Voice of America, where they really trust what's going on from an objective, from an external point of view. But for normal everyday life, people want a radio station that broadcasts where they're from. I think everybody can relate to that. You know, if you're based in Los Angeles, you don't want a radio station in New York. You want one that's based in L.A. And very much in Africa, there may be commercial radio stations, but it's the community ones that really broadcast in your just in your very, very local footprint area in your language, dealing with programs and issues that are pertinent to you. And that's really where women have a role, because in most of the community radio stations I've seen, women are broadcasters, they're involved in station management, they're involved in putting together the programming and as journalists as well. So community radio has given women journalists or would-be journalists a real opportunity.
Have there been a lot of challenges for the community radio stations? I mean, do they go, I don't know if you would know this, but would they go through, let's say, the same licensing process as, let's say, a commercial station?
Yeah, that's a really good question. When you apply for, generally what happens is a community has to apply to the national government for a community a radio station license. To my knowledge, the only entity in the world that doesn't require a license to broadcast is the UN. And then you have a charter, and these charters differ by country, but essentially it's that you don't broadcast political messages and that you are community supported, and so you have to raise your funds in your community, and it can't take a political stance. So typically the government can shut you down if you do that. So it is very hard for communities that are poor to begin with to get capital to buy the equipment that they need and to maintain it and upgrade it. So often what happens is it might be donor supported to start, but then it's up to the communities to self-fund. And so there are a lot of ways that communities can do that. Oftentimes their personnel are volunteers. Very few community stations that I'm aware of are really strong financially, to the nature of that game. But or that entity, but let's say you could become a member of the community. I've seen this many times where you could become a member of the community radio station, so you pay a small amount of money, And that would enable you to make announcements, or it might enable you to criticize or call in.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a fundraising drive and ask people to donate livestock, or they might have a contest or prize giving, something like that. So there are a lot of creative ways that I've seen. And we're not talking about very large amounts of money, but that so they can just get by. But community radio is a really, really powerful enabler for social change and for discussion and development, so for people solving their own problems. I had heard many, many instances of how community radio benefits. But again, the issue comes back oftentimes to how are they able to listen if they don't have access to batteries? So it is always challenging.
Kristen Pearson from LifeLive Radio. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Media Network Plus. Next week, we will have a whole new show for you. So I hope that you enjoyed the last two shows, actually, looking back into the archives. Anyway, if you wish to get in touch with us, our email address is very simple. It's mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also catch this program again, as well as all past editions, including our monthly 55-minute edition, by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. To end off today, I know that many of you are also having a little bit of a vacation, so we're going to leave you with a song called Mexico by Long John Baldry. So on behalf of Dan Hensley and Paulette McQuarrie, this is Keith Perron wishing you well, hoping to see you all again very soon. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.
Just take my hand and come along with me. There is so little time to spare. There is a place I'd give the world to see, where the music's softly playing and the rhythm's gently swaying. Underneath the stars, a million bars, guitars are softly saying, Mexico, you got to be in so much to see in Mexico. Take it from me, yeah, you're gonna see the greatest show. Underneath the sun in Mexico, the love we had is just a shadow now. Why did we ever drift apart? Let's get away and start again somehow, where the music's softly playing and the rhythm's gently swaying. Underneath the stars in a million bars, guitars are softly saying, Mexico, you gotta be in so much to see in Mexico. Take it from me, yeah, you're gonna see the greatest show. Underneath the sun in Mexico. Mexico, the magic has begun in Mexico, underneath the sun in Mexico.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Best of Media Network Plus. Your comments and questions, of course, are always welcome. pcjmedia@gmail.com. And let us know how you heard the program, and also if there's an edition that you would like to listen to. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.